to another Srebrenica.
More news online at usaradio.com.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Washing Machine.
Hi, it's Washing Machine. It's about, 7 o'clock on Wednesday. So, good news, bad news. First, I found your lost sock. Exciting! Also, I might have maybe flooded the whole basement. It's going to be pretty expensive. But hey, at least you got that sock.
Your washing machine won't pay for water damage. Luckily, one call to the Geico Insurance Agency makes it easy to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then U.S. Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
Donald Trump at a rally last night said he's had enough of flag burning. Here's more from correspondent Chris Barnes.
And I see these punks burning the flag.
President-elect Donald Trump at a rally appearance in Pennsylvania renewing his call for consequences for those who desecrate the flag.
No good, no good. We're gonna maybe have to do something about that. What do you think, yes?
While many legal scholars say it's settled law that it's a form of free speech to be able to desecrate the flag, a flag desecration amendment has often been proposed to protect the red, white, and blue. I'm Chris Barnes.
Millions of Americans coping with another day of brutal cold. Arctic air is sending the mercury plunging from the northern mains throughout New England. Wind chill warnings and winter storm watches have been posted from Montana all the way through Maine. All of the major airlines have announced they will be waiving their change fees this weekend if you're traveling to an area that is predicted to have heavy snowfall or already has traveling issues. USA Radio News.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. Scored some big savings and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is if a highway splits, it's a fork in the road, then wouldn't the long straight stretch be a knife in the road? And then wouldn't a cul-de-sac be a spoon in the road? What would a spork be?
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
Two former Navy contractors facing charges after fake bomb threats. Here's more on the story.
Joshua Rice and Roberto Rubio were arrested and arraigned this week. They each face up to 5 years behind bars and a $250,000 fine if convicted. Rice allegedly reported seeing the word bomb scrawled inside of a portable toilet at Naval Base San Diego in May, but knew there was no threat. Rubio is charged separately with writing a similar message with a time and date inside a Navy ship in September. Randy Fuller, San Diego.
A girl who went to see Star Wars with her boyfriend got a night to remember, and it's not just because they like the movie. Here's the story.
The couple got two tickets to the world premiere of Rogue One, a Star Wars story, yesterday, and then waited in the rain outside the iconic TCL Chinese Theater in Hollywood. After taking some pictures with fans dressed up like Star Wars characters, the guy dropped down to one knee. He pulled out a ring case shaped like the Death Star and asked his girlfriend to marry him. She said yes, and now fans say, may the Force be with them.
That's reporter Jason Campadonia. Authorities in Indiana are investigating the deaths of two 12-year-old children who apparently fell through ice in Pike County. WTTV says the officers responded within minutes, but it was 20 minutes for one child and 40 minutes to pull the other out of the icy waters. Neither child survived the incident. Officials say the investigation could take weeks. For more news and analysis, check out westernjournalism.com. This is USA Radio News.
Well, we'll be with you in the sports, but just wanted to let you know that this is going to be a good weekend, and Bill Wolfson is here with me. Bill, it's going to be a good weekend to watch football.
Not only will it be a good weekend to watch football, but it'll be a great weekend to watch hockey. My Philadelphia Flyers are facing off against the Dallas Stars at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Oh, well, Dallas. Let me tell you what you can avoid by an excuse that you have to watch the game.
Right
on Saturday, it starts, well, tonight, we have a 20% chance of snow and then about an 80% chance because it's going to go down to about 20 degrees, which is balmy compared to what they're getting in the Midwest. But then tomorrow, 100% chance of a wintry mix And then rain is likely, about a 70% chance, high of about 39. So if it doesn't get that warm, that wintry mix is going to stay. By Sunday, or by Saturday night, actually, there's a 30 to 60% chance of showers and then patchy fog. By Sunday, heavy rain, 80% chance of heavy rain on Sunday. So this is not the weekend to have to go out and put up all of your decorations if you haven't done so. By the way, by Monday, it will be mostly sunny, about 32 degrees, but that's really balmy and nice. I guess we should look to see what the temperatures are in some of the Midwestern football arenas. Of course, some of them now are inside, but I think that the Packers play either... they have to play the game on Sunday in Chicago because they played an earlier game, the one we were at. They played that in Lambeau.
They're expecting it to be -1 at kickoff.
Yep. Yeah, no, and it's going to be
cold.
And it
might just warm up to -5 by the third quarter. But then when the sun goes behind the bowl of Soldier Field, boy, it's going to be cold again. It's the perfect game to watch from your living room, drinking hot chocolate.
Or hot toddies.
And eating, what's a good game time food?
Oh, anything. I actually saw something. I happened to turn on television this morning, and if you go to the Today Show to get this recipe, for those of you who eat ham, it is a sandwich made on buns, but it's ham, Swiss cheese, and then the on top of it, and then you put it in the oven, it's poppy seeds and brown sugar. And, I mean, it just sounded like it could be the perfect thing to eat if you want to change up what you usually have for sandwiches for game day. Now, I have to tell you, I think that the Stanton General Store has really good heroes. So very often on game day, we'll go down and get, some sandwiches and, like a chicken parm sandwich with lots of cheese and lots of sauce and, sit there and, watch the game.
Well, the great thing about a chicken parm sandwich with lots of cheese and lots of sauce is the fun of a messy, sloppy, wonderful meal.
Yeah, but you don't care. You're sitting in front of the television and with old clothes.
Who cares if you drip it on your sweater?
Well, I mean,
wear a Christmas sweater. No one will know the difference.
Wear one of those sweaters that Aunt Bertha gave you that you hate and you get out once a year. But they're going to be, actually, I'm really unhappy because my Packers play on Christmas Eve on Saturday. Now, they're playing Sunday. Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Apparently, he's still going to try to play, but he was really limping at the end of the last game. In fact, he came out early.
Well, people pay good money to watch Aaron Rodgers play football. And the real question is why, if your team's not going anywhere, like the Eagles really aren't, why play Carson Wentz for the next three games? I mean, I know people pay good money to see him, but the Eagles are 5-8. Even if they run the table for the rest of the season, they're going to be 8-8. They're in a conference where nobody else is going to get a wild card unless they've won 9 games. So what's the difference?
Yeah, you're right. I think they may say, well, with a young quarterback like that, they want to give him as much practice as possible. By the way, I've always thought that phrase, run the table, is interesting. What does it mean? I know it means win every game, but
right.
It's...
running the table. Well, that's from shooting pool or billiards if you're British.
Okay.
And the way the time I first heard that phrase was at a friend's house when I was a freshman in high school. His father...
Gosh, you remember back where you heard the phrase?
I sure do. His father had won serious money as a pool hustler when he was in the Army. And he went all through North Africa and Europe cheating people because nobody knew that he had played pool professionally before he got drafted in World War II. And He was famous in Flemington for his trick shots. He could actually make a ball skip over another, a cue ball skip over another ball and hit a ball and run it right into the pocket. But running the table means that whatever balls are left on the table, you go and you sink them all into a pocket.
Aha. Well, that's, of course, what the Packers have to do in order to possibly qualify for a playoff spot.
Well, they're 7-6 and behind a very surprising 9-4 Detroit.
And they're going to have to play Detroit the last game.
And we have a John Manfreda sighting.
We certainly do.
Manfreda is in the room, just like
good
Elvis.
Good afternoon,
John Manfreda. How are you?
He had to come in and talk about the Cowboy game.
Bittersweet, rare opportunities to do what some people would call a 10-10. You know, it's tis the season, so I wound up spending $10,000 in 10 minutes in Roman Jewelers. But the good news is my Christmas shopping is now done. So I know everybody's busy, so they're not listening to the show today, but they are getting jewelry this year.
Well, so. I guess if they... they're going to be very happy, and so they'll is be Roman very.
They'll be very happy. And I did some interesting shopping for my sons-in-law and my hopefully soon-to-be son-in-law, an Eli Manning signed helmet.
Wow.
For my son-in-law Ryan. He is going to be ecstatic, and I'm hoping that over the next month, the value of that will double if they win another Super Bowl.
Where did you get that?
That was hard to find. It was hard to find. I actually got it, believe it or not, in Massachusetts. There's a sports store there where I used to grew up, and they carry a lot of stuff, and they have some New York stuff because they also, for my other son-in-law, who is an unfortunate Yankees fan, believe it or not, you know, they only had one of them left, but you know what a big seller was? A Gary Sanchez signed print.
Hmm.
And I got that for him. And the kid is either going to be a flash in the pan, which most Red Sox fans hope, or he's going to be another, I don't want to say Johnny Bench, I think of somebody a little bit less.
Maybe a Greg Nettles.
Well, I'm thinking of a catcher position.
Or Jorge Posada.
This kid could be as good as Posada.
Better. Or Thurman Munson.
Could be.
But, you know,
could
it's
be.
Interesting.
And for my hopefully soon-to-be son-in-law, who I found out a week ago today when I was doing it, I was up in Boston and he was giving me a tour of his new office building. At age 27... got promoted to vice president of his firm.
Wow.
Which is incredibly big jump. I got him a signature Red Sox watch because he's a big time.
Gee.
As I told you, the first time my daughter told me about it, she says, Dad, you got one son-in-law who's a Mets fan, one who's a Yankees fan. You're going to love Garrett. He's a Red Sox fan. He's from Boston. So... it's going to be an interesting Christmas.
I can you adopt me? I mean, adopt me?
I love buying those kinds
of
gifts.
I have to tell you, in all the years I've been married to Dave, there wouldn't be anything close to $10,000 spent on jewelry by him.
Well, you have to remember, I write wills for a living. And one of the things I enjoy doing is describing artwork and jewelry in a will. That somebody's going to give and bequeath that piece of tangible personal property. And it's an art to describing that properly. And it's just you can almost, by the time I finish writing it, you can picture the piece.
But you actually.
And I want to create an image in the mind of the person, most often Susan Hoffman, our surrogate, who's reading the will, of what. That's happened more than once where Susan has said, wow, I want to see this thing. You know, can you bring it in?
You know, it's too bad you don't work for a diner doing the menus because I could get myself very hungry just
Bill,
listening.
Bill, as usual, has a perfect suggestion. Thank you, Bill. That is very clever.
But, you know, it's interesting, the market for sports memorabilia.
Oh, you're right.
And, you know, years and years ago, maybe 20, 30 years ago, people bought and sold baseball cards.
Oh, yeah.
Traded in them, and it was a very hot market. And then it became so popular that it almost became passe, and there suddenly there was no cachet to that Mickey Mantle rookie card.
Oh, there's still cachet to that. Okay, that's a bad example. But
I think that is a bad example. But one of the problems is that there was so much fake stuff going around that people started to get very, very concerned.
Well, on the signature side, you're right. Not so much in the baseball cards because it's hard to
read. No, not
but on the
cards.
Signature, that's why you must get it authenticated.
Right.
And I have a 500 home run print that I did with my brother 20-odd years ago. So we're missing the whole steroid era. But we had to get all of those signatures authenticated. And there were at that time, I think, 13 of them, 14 of them in the 500 home run club. And it was expensive. That piece is a couple of $1,000 piece.
Well, I have baseball artwork. And you see it in my office.
Yes,
I also have some
you've seen home. Mine as well. Exactly right.
I have Yankee Stadium from a game in 1961 where the Yankees are playing the White Sox, and Mickey Mantle has just extended his arms and is hitting a home run. And it is...
Is that a picture or a print?
It's a print. And there is a company run by a guy named Bill Goff, G-O-F-F, who sells these things. And you can get triptychs, three... prints, which give you a panorama, say, of Fenway in the 1950s, if you're standing behind home plate, or a very beautiful print of the old Forbes Field at sunset with the lights on and a game going. Or one of my favorites is Dodger Stadium with the palm trees. That's a bright, sunny day. And the Dodgers are playing the Giants at home, and Sandy Koufax is on the mound. So you have a real, real market, I think, that is just wonderful for sports memorabilia and sports prints. I'm very proud of the hockey puck that Gordie Howe flipped me when I was 11 years old.
That's memorable just because, of the provenance to you.
But
talking about bright, you said bright. Did anybody, where in the world did they come up with the colors of the Seahawks uniforms?
Oh, you mean those neon things?
Oh, those horrible. Did you see that game?
Yeah, and it's funny you mention that because when they first came into the league, they had that aquamarine green or whatever you call it. I guess Miami is more aquamarine, but
it's like
what
a teal color?
Well, teal was the Carolina Panthers,
right?
But which they did just like the San Jose Sharks,
right?
Why did they do it? This is a hockey team and a football team because women like they did the marketing and that
come
is the
on.
Oh no,
not the Seahawks uniform.
No, I'm saying San Jose and Carolina both have that teal color because that's the most popular color for women to buy. That was the reason they did it solely for marketing purposes. Well known. That's public.
Well, even my wife has a Carolina Panthers T-shirt.
Yeah, very, very popular.
Blue and black.
Very popular.
And I think she likes it because she likes black cats, and the cat looks like it's snarling.
Yeah, but have you seen? I mean, it was hard to watch.
Yeah, their uniforms look like aliens.
So it was hard to watch the game.
Although,
I thought
the single worst unit. It is a throwback. The Steelers throwback.
Yeah.
It looks like they're all in prison guards.
Right.
That is a putrid yellow and it's unbelievable. I don't know how they put that stuff on.
Well, I don't know how the Seahawks put it on.
Well, I always thought the worst uniform was when the Philadelphia Eagles wore the Frankfurt uniforms. They were the Frankfurt Wasps or Bees or something.
Yeah.
Or Hornets. And they had like these yellow and black horizontal striped uniforms, including the pants. It looked like they were running around in their pajamas.
So speaking of the the Bald Eagles. They are on a bad run right now, Bill.
Well, that's true. And I was just saying to Pat before you arrived, late as usual, that you know, why should they play Carson Wentz and risk an injury in the next three games that could be career-ending when their offensive line is about as putrid as a Seattle?
And they're paying Chase Daniel $20 million, and didn't take a snap. And that was just such a stupid signing.
Well, go figure that one out. I can't. And remember something. The only good thing you can say about the Philadelphia Eagles right now is it's been a rebuilding year, and they found out where the holes are and what they need. First three games notwithstanding.
Holes? I mean, kind of like,
There was a big one in the offensive line.
I think there's another word that you could use for
needs, needs.
Well, or
needs.
Instead of hole.
Canyon?
I mean, a hole.
Deficiencies?
Yeah. Kind of like the Grand Canyon, maybe.
I was thinking of Tycho Crater on the moon or Mons Olympicus on Mars.
You know.
But Wentz, I mean, on the other hand, it would, you know, Wentz, if he doesn't get hurt, I mean, you know, it'll give.
And he is taking a lot of hits. He's a big guy, and he's taking a bunch of hits. He doesn't fumble because he's got really big hands. He does. He's very strong. But, yeah, he is taking some hits, but he's got to get that experience.
Yeah,
he can't be afraid
to
play the guy. But the big problem that seems to be coming out with him is he's got this tendency for the ball to sail on him. Now, he's got to correct that because he's throwing a bunch of intercepts. The concern is that for him to gun it, it's going to sail. And if you're going to throw deep and it's going to sail, you're going to get picked off a couple times
a
game. So he's got to figure out that's something with his mechanics. They got to work with him. But the kid's got a great arm. He's very smart. You can see that. It's amazing he agreed to sign in that city, but I guess he figured he got drafted number two overall, and he didn't want to. What was the name of the guy who? Oh, well, besides John Elway, who didn't want to play when he got drafted in Baltimore.
Eli.
That was Archie. Eli didn't want his son to play in San Diego, and look at what happened.
Eli refused to play in San Diego.
He refused to play, and look at what happened. Was he right? Philip Rivers, who was just as good, if not better than Eli, went to San Diego. What have they won? Okay?
Well,
no, he was Archie was right.
Well, I mean, right or not, I mean, I think that, you know, players should play where they're drafted.
It leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouth, and that's why, you know, Elway was hobnobbing with George Steinbrenner because that was a message like, if the right team doesn't draft me, I'm going to go play baseball, which I think was bunk, but it all worked out, you know?
But, you know, getting back to Philadelphia, the important thing is, you know, Wentz has had a good season.
Very good. I think a very good rookie year.
He's shown Philadelphia that if they give him people who can catch the ball and protect him.
Well, I think a quarterback needs both. I don't care who you are.
Absolutely do.
You need both.
I mean, look at what Aaron Rodgers, if you watch that game.
With that line.
Aaron is really hurt. If you saw him, he couldn't scramble. He was
and he's got a bad offensive line.
He could barely walk off the field, but he was still able to play because he was getting the kind of protection he needed.
That line's gotten better as the season went on. At the beginning of the year, he was getting pounded.
Right. Well, they've had some good. I mean, Cook has been, you know, really. I mean, they've really done well. The fact that they did as well against the Seahawks was pretty amazing.
Well, look at they beat the Giants too, and the Green Bay has some very very good wins under their belt. They caught them at the right time, you know.
Well, they had some wins, but then they had some losses, and in fact, we were talking before you got here. They really do have to run the table to have any chance.
Oh yeah.
And then it also depends.
And they got to hope the Giants beats Detroit.
Yeah,
and Matthew Stafford's got a hand problem. I mean, if the Giants can't win this game, they don't deserve
to
be
in
the
playoffs.
They're playing this weekend, and if they win, they virtually clinch a playoff in New York, in New Jersey, I should say.
Well, remember, the Lions, if they lose, are 9-5, and the Giants, if they win, are 9-5.
No, the Giants will be 10-4. They're 9-4.
10-4, that's right. They beat Dallas.
But Detroit is...
Detroit is not
9-6.
No, they're both 9-4. Detroit is 9-4, just like the Giants. They're both 9-4. Yeah,
and
one of the better matchups of the year with good records.
And you know,
and where are they playing?
In New Jersey, in the Meadowlands.
I was so impressed with the Giants' defense last week.
Yeah, the defense has gotten better every week for the last 6 weeks, to the point where at the end of the line, they were remarking on this nationally, nobody has played the Cowboys and worn that offensive line down. At the end of the game, the Cowboys' offensive line couldn't protect Prescott anymore. He was running for his life. That hadn't happened all year.
Mm.
It was the first game where they got flat-out beat. And the kid that's in there from – I hate to admit it, he's from Notre Dame, but he took JPP's place, and he's getting as much pressure. Yeah, he's playing a great game. Yeah.
And, you know, the real irony here is, let's say that these two teams meet in the playoffs. I think the Giants – knocked Dallas out. I think.
Oh, clearly they've beaten them twice.
Right, they end the Cinderella season.
Well, you know, the big speculation now all over is after this game and how they expose Prescott, whether they're going to prep Romo to play. And there is right now the speculation amongst, you know, the powers and being is that there's greater than a 50-50 chance that Romo will start the playoff game.
Really?
Unless Prescott rebounds and has three very good games, they think Romo's going to play.
Was it Prescott's fault? I mean, I didn't see much of the game.
Well, he was a rookie. He looked a bit lost. You know, if you remember all year, what's he been doing? When his protection, he's had great protection.
Right.
But see, the secret to the Giants is they shut down Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
So he didn't have that outlet. And then they started putting pressure. And in the second half, the offensive line was caving. The blitzes were getting to Prescott. They caught him. The kid's fast.
Yeah.
So they sacked him a number of times. They almost had a safety on him. So to me, again, the key to stopping Dallas is you stop Elliott.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you run the ball, why did they win so much with Emmitt Smith? Yeah, they had a great line and Emmitt Smith, and they ran the ball on you. If it's third and two, third and three, they're going to get a first down. That didn't happen Sunday, and they got frustrated, and that's where they turned the ball over. And, you know, it was just a tremendous defensive game. I think against the Lions, the Giants are going to, you know, come full house, going to be a jailbreak again. They're going to – I'll bet the first play of the game, the first passing situation, they're going to bring people, and you're going to find seven men going after Stafford, who's now got a weak hand. He's going to have to try to get rid of the ball. He's not going to be able to throw deep. So what I'm concerned about is the Giants over-pursuing and then him dumping off screen passes. So no doubt they'll be looking to put a package in the field that'll be, you know, watching. Somebody will have responsibility for that. But right now they are in a great position to win that game. Offensively, they got to turn it around a little bit. The Giants offensively, with those weapons, Eli's just not having a good year. And you just hope he's injured a little bit and he's not having a good year and that he hasn't fallen off quite a bit. Because last year he had a phenomenal year. For a bad team, he threw for 4,000 yards. So you really don't know which Eli is going to show up. But Eli is one of those guys, as he showed in the Super Bowl, he's a guy who plays big in big games. This is a game they need against a very quality opponent to basically clinch a playoff spot. Then if the Giants were to win this and go 10-4.
So they clinch if they win this game.
Well, they don't mathematically. They, for all intents and purposes, because the prevailing theory, they got to then go on the road to play the Eagles and the Redskins. And the feeling is they're going to drop one of the – they'll probably beat the Eagles next week. Although you never know. For the Eagles, it'll be their Super Bowl. And they'll and they'll get up Washington in Washington on the last on January 1, and I will be in Washington on January 1. It'll
be
not at the game. I'll be at a wedding, unfortunately. Well, the wedding's Saturday
at the stadium?
Night. If I can find some way to get a ticket, I may just.
Oh, please!
You
can always get a ticket.
Yeah,
you can
I suppose.
Always get a ticket. It's just a matter of what you pay for it.
Yeah,
and
I
if
suppose.
You're looking to go alone. It's pretty easy to pick up single
it is.
Tickets.
It is, if you don't mind sitting there by yourself.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, folks...
In the middle of all the Redskin fans, that's where
yeah.
you want
oh,
to
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you want to wear something really blue and really giant-y and stick out like a real sore thumb. But I'm convinced that there really aren't any Redskins fans. I think the Redskins exist so the people from someplace else who've gone to Washington can watch their hometown team when they come in. I don't know if anybody actually ever really grew up there
They have a lot of transplant, transient fans. That's true because Washington is that kind of a city.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but how? I mean,
Washington's business is government.
I don't care where I'd live. I'd always be a Packer fan.
Well, yeah, exactly. If you lived in, outside of Bethesda, Maryland, you'd be waiting for your Packers to come in.
And, you know, I think, though, often what happens is for kids, there's a certain player that they really like. And I do know that it's sometimes difficult when those players move. I was watching something about Charles Woodson the other night on television, and I'm still angry that the Packers let him go. I mean, I know he was... he was about 36 years old when they let him go, but he played another 3 years, and he still was really productive, and he was such a
Sometimes
leader on that team.
Sometimes it's salary cap considerations.
Yeah, but he was such a leader on that team. I mean, I think that...
Yeah, in retrospect, they probably regretted letting him go.
Well, I mean, I regretted it from the day I heard about it, but... and you see, he was somebody that they picked up, and the Packers don't usually do that. I mean, they don't usually pick up players from other teams.
Yep, they draft.
To remember,
very good building through the draft.
I'm trying to remember if they picked him up in the middle of the season. Probably not. But, I mean, and believe me, I know that Woodson did not want to go to Green Bay when he was first going there. He just...
Interesting.
He was not into it and then became, you know, Mr. Green Bay. So,
Pat, I know you got to go to some breaks. I was thinking when we come back, maybe we can talk a little baseball.
Baseball?
Maybe a little bit of hot stove.
This cold weather?
A little hot stove. It'll warm the whole room right up.
Okay, we'll be back in...
Hit that money button, Pat.
If I can find something.
We've got to pay for our sponsors.
I think you better keep talking because I don't know where my little cheat sheet is.
We sure could keep talking.
Well, you know what is funny right now? The Red Sox have Price on Sale. How about that?
Really?
You have Chris Sale and David Price, and that's an interesting... and then you got an Italian guy there, Rick Porcello. Porcello, who only won the Cy Young Award. So right now, going into the season, they have one of the top three rotations in baseball, the Dodgers, the Nationals, and the Red Sox. Yeah, you can debate. But the Red Sox are seven deep in starters now. And they're looking to move. The speculation is they're going to move Clay Buchholz, who may still have one more 20-game winning season. He could get picked up by some team and win 20 games. If he can stay healthy, Buck can win 20 games. He's a great pitcher. The problem is the last 5 years, he's been hurt. You know, when he was young, he came up in 2007, threw a no-hitter in the year before they won the World Series against the Orioles. In September, he was a call-up, and like his fourth or fifth start,
John,
to a no-hitter.
Why are we talking baseball in December?
I would think it'd be fun to do that for you Cub fans. You are the star.
Stop.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambie's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambie's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambie's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Okay, guys, we're back, and I think we have to at least pay some homage to the, what's the name of that team that finally is winning in Philadelphia?
Oh, my Philadelphia Flyers, 10 straight wins. And tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock, I'm going to be in front of a TV somewhere, somehow, in a storm, watching them play the Dallas Stars and hoping they can win number 11.
And you hope that they have, at the end of that game, one of the most famous Devils bylines. That, and you see it in my office because it's in my collage from the 2000 Cup year. There's a phrase, I cut it out of the page, it was on the front page of the sports page, and it said, after the Devils had destroyed the Stars, Devils are the Stars. And that's the headline you want to see Sunday's paper. Flyers are the Stars.
Or you could say Flyers dim the Stars.
Or you could say that. You could do some work with that. Yep.
But Devils are the Stars is yeah.
Devils are the Stars. I've got that on my collage. It's a beautiful. But speaking of the Devils, they're not. They started out 9-3, and they've since not. I think they're 12-11 now. They're almost to 500. But you know, they're going through a tough stretch on the road, playing the Western Conference, big time teams. But the thing about the Flyers, and I got to hand it to you, Bill, is that the youth and the speed.
They finally
and getting the goaltending. Talk about that.
They finally realized that they had to build from within. They finally realized that this was a faster game, and they stopped drafting big guys.
Your mic.
okay, they stopped drafting big guys who weren't all that fast.
Those snow cones look good, but, you know.
Well, remember something. Once Holmgren and Clark left the player selection universe in Philly, and they brought in Hextall, who took a good look around and realized he didn't like what he saw. He was stuck with some big contracts like Andrew McDonald and Mark Streit, who he's got to move. He managed to get somebody to pick up on Hartnell, somebody who I always liked as a player.
Yeah, Hartnell's good, a good hard-nosed player, but big money.
Right, a lot of money. But remember, Wayne Simmons, who has really come on for Philadelphia.
Oh, man,
he's
that
a scoring
guy should
leader,
be arrested.
And he's really shown a tremendous amount of leadership.
Wayne the Elbow Simmons.
But even so, remember, Hextall drafted him when Hextall was in Los Angeles.
Oh, I thought it was with Tampa.
No. Ron Hextall was a GM.
No, actually, the Florida Panthers. He played for the Florida Panthers.
He did, but he was.
But he was drafted when he was with Hextall was with the Kings.
He was drafted by the Los Angeles Kings. Initially.
Interesting. I did not recall that, Bill.
And they couldn't sign him. They really wanted him, and he did go play for in the Panthers farm system for a season, and then he came back to L.A. In a trade of minor leaguers in the juniors. So you have a guy who the Flyers gave up, Mike Richards, who unfortunately has had some personal problems and is out of hockey now, in return for a guy who's given them six good seasons.
Yeah, it was a fair trade. I mean, the Kings won a cup.
Right.
With Richards, but you're right. I mean, if the Flyers go on to win something this year or next year, then you'd have to say that trade benefited Philly.
Sure. Plus, you're also getting good goaltending. Steve Mason has been both hot and cold, mostly hot.
Yeah.
When he's gotten a little tired, Anthony Stolarz, who we saw last year in Allentown with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, has played really well. He got a shutout in his second NHL career game. Bob Nyworth is hurt and is probably not coming back till the end of January. Then the Flyers have a good problem. They've got a goalie they could trade away. Or they simply send Stolarz down for more seasoning and do the tandem with Mason and Nyworth again. Because remember, Mason was not playing well, and Nyworth played very well in the series against Washington, which the Flyers lost 4-2. But you finally have solved a goaltending problem in Philly. You now have a couple of defensemen that need to be moved. You're getting tremendous play on the right wing from Travis Konechny, who is a good, young, fast rookie. And what I'm finding is the Flyers have become a fast puck possession team, and they're smart enough to understand, and they've played well enough to understand that once you let that shot go, all five skaters are now defensemen. So they've gotten very responsible, and they've given up fewer and fewer goals as the season has gone on. And even without Shane Couturier, who is their number one defensive forward, and they've had Bellemare step up, the one French guy from Paris, the one Parisian on the team. Usually you think of French guys are from Quebec. This guy's really from France. He's really come on as a classic defensive
forward. Yeah,
he
should be a guy serving croissants to the players on the bench.
Or aperitifs. But that's been very exciting. The other thing is I've seen with the New York Rangers, a goalie who I admire the most, Henrik Lundqvist, has begun to fall off. I don't know whether it's injuries or a career decline. Or career decline. I can't decide what it is.
Well, he's played at a high level for, close to 10 years, Bill?
That's right.
So, I mean,
that's
got
to be taxing.
Like a catcher in baseball, those are tough positions.
Yeah, and especially hockey. I mean, I know they get a few breaks, but, I mean, football, when you think about it, there are a lot of breaks. If nothing else, they're all the breaks for the commercials. I mean, you really notice it when you're at a game. At how many breaks that they have to take, and how long, and then of course, whenever there's an injury, you know, you're sitting there watching the injured player, but you know that the commercials are on television. But as long as they have people to back up, I mean, one of the things that I worry about Aaron Rodgers is Huntley, the young guy. I mean, he just doesn't have enough experience to back up somebody like Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron's really hurting. But now they've been doing some other things. I mean, Montgomery has been great. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, when a couple people come back from injuries. I mean, one of the things that I've really been amazed is how some of these players can play in college, then go to the pros and play a different position. You know, I mean, that's pretty.
They have to be real good athletes to do that.
They must be phenomenal athletes to be able to do that. I mean, just think, a lot of these guys from the time they're in, you know, Pop Warner, they've been pretty much
top of their class
playing, but pretty much focused on playing one position. I know with my grandson, he plays both offense and defense, but that's pretty unusual, even at that young age. I mean, most of them are playing one or the other. So,
Pat, do you think the Packers really believe they have a shot to go on a run? And
I think Aaron Rodgers does. I don't think he'd have. I think he'd have taken himself out of that game earlier.
Well, I think that blueprint was created by the Giants. If you remember the first Super Bowl team that beat New England was, I think, 5-3 maybe, and finished 9-7, and then went on a run and won the Super Bowl.
And the Giants did it.
That's the blueprint.
One of the things that we were worried about in the game on Sunday against the Seahawks is, remember, in that 2014 playoff game, the Packers were ahead like 16-0, and the Seahawks came back in overtime and won that game. So, you know, we were on the edge of our
seats. That was a horrible loss for the Packers.
Oh, it was. But, I mean, this game, I mean.
What I always remember from that game was the two-point conversion that they let in. That was, that stuff, you expect that to happen to teams like Philly, Buffalo, Cincinnati. Those kind of teams, I couldn't believe it when Green Bay let. And they had two guys in front of the guy, the receiver who caught the ball in the end zone. That 2-point, and they had chased Wilson prior to what appeared to be the 30-yard line. He heaves it. Somehow it comes down with it. Yep. It was unbelievable.
But Aaron is really hurt. So I think this week will show whether or not he can even manage to stay in the game, because, you know, it was his left hand hamstring, but now it's his right leg. Whatever it is, it's his right leg, his right ankle. I mean, he literally was trying to skip off the field. I mean, he couldn't even run off the field.
Right.
It was sad to see. But he's quite a competitor. And, you know, some of these young guys around him. But you also noticed, I also could see that Clay Matthews is still hurt. He's not back 100%. On the other hand, every once in a while, Julius Peppers does something that, you know, it's just
he's still got a little bit left in the tank. But the thing is, Pat, to your point, you have to be healthy. And again, you take a team like the Eagles, okay, to come back to it, Bill, 3-0 start. Now, granted, they were playing very weak teams. Although the game three was Pittsburgh, and nobody can figure that game out. They destroyed them.
Oh, yeah. But that was a victory for the Eagles' defense more than for the Eagles' offense.
Yeah, they shut them down.
Yeah.
They shut down the Pittsburgh offense. But you know, I mean, obviously there are holes, as you put it, and there is an overabundance of talent in that roster. But I think what also hurt the Eagles a lot has been, you know, some bad injuries.
They've had bad injuries. The whole offensive line that they started with by game
either
four
injuries
was
or
gone.
Taking drugs. So,
injuries, and that's the one thing that I don't think that there's any team at the beginning of the season that you can say, hey, they're going to go all the way. Because you never know.
Because
the
injuries are the X factor.
You know, the injuries really are the X factor.
And that's why so many people are favoring New England, because Brady sat on the bench, didn't have to play the first four games, and they won them.
Exactly.
You know, they won them all.
Exactly.
Okay, I mean, that's the incredible thing. That's why he's definitely on a mission to win the Super Bowl this year. He wants to stand there when Roger Goodell has to hand him that trophy. That's what he wants. That six-round draft pick, that's what he wants.
And, you know, I mean, I don't know anybody who, well, maybe there's some people who
what
like
he wants,
Brady.
What he really wants is for the Giants to get in, and he can, in one fell swoop, you know, stick it to the Giants for a change and make Roger Goodell have to hand it to. That would be his dream. Not going to happen.
Well, you know who I, if the Packers don't win our division, you know who I'd like to see win?
Detroit. I'd
of
like
course.
To see him.
Yeah.
I would like to see Detroit.
I mean, really,
I just don't want to see Detroit win this Sunday. But if they lose to the Giants, they can still be 9-5. They can
they
still
will.
Get in.
They still, they yeah. because they're, yeah, they would be 9-5, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So they'll be 10-5 if they win.
They'll be 10-4. The winner of the game will come out 10-4.
10-4. That's what I meant.
But I think Detroit has one of their remaining two games is an easy game, I think.
Is it?
I saw it. Yeah.
Chicago? Is it Chicago?
I think they might have the Bears. Yeah, and they should win that game. The danger if you are Detroit is, you know, especially if you get behind against the Giants and you leave Stafford in the game with an injured hand and you risk the Giants' defense hurting him. That's the risk. I think what you're going to find, if they were smart, that's why a lot of people are saying, you know what, Detroit does not have to win this game. They should start the backup quarterback. I think what's going to happen is they're going to start Stafford and see where it goes. Maybe he can lead them on a couple of drives, and then he may not come out in the second half. Or a lot of people are speculating. I don't think he's going to finish the game, either because they got a lead and they can and their defense can hold, or because the Giants put him out of the game.
Oh, I think
because
if the Giants are way ahead.
I mean, if he gets sacked a few times and hurts the hand even more, he's done for the year. And who knows? And then some. You know, so, it's a dangerous thing.
But the quarterbacks hate to come out.
They do.
I mean, you could see, Aaron Rodgers was practically crawling off the field. And I said to Dave, I said, they can't put him back in. And then you
How about Brett Favre? He was the all-time one for Favre. He had his bell rung, as they used to say. Now it's concussion protocol, and he still went back in.
Well, but with what happened is then when the backup quarterback went in and the Seahawks had a touchdown, you could see how anxious all the Packer fans were, and they were all looking to see if Rodgers would go back in after that. Now, you know, I'm glad they didn't put him back in, and they really didn't, but it – every Packer fan remembers that playoff game.
Yep.
Along with remembering what the Giants did in a playoff game to the Packers. The year they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, both years they went through. I mean, the one year was the overtime game. Then
the
Super Bowl 46, I mean, they destroyed the Packers.
Yeah,
Green
but it
Bay.
Was the overtime 13 below zero that
Yeah, that was
remember.
The Brett Favre interception.
Yes.
Okay.
Right
but,
in front
but,
of
you
me.
But the second game, Green Bay was heavily favored by like 9 points and lost by 3 or 4 touchdowns. I mean, that was – the Giants' defense ate him alive. And what happened there was his offensive line – because he was running for his life.
Right.
And the offensive line. I think if you're going to beat the Packers
– But the Giants, that time, the game I'm thinking of is they came in and had to play every game away.
Oh, yeah.
They were 9-7. They were on the road the whole time.
They destroyed San Francisco.
They were the lowest.
And they beat the Packers. They beat, I think it was Tampa as well.
Right.
And then, of course, the Patriots. So, I mean, yeah, it could be an exciting end. You never know. All right, we got a couple of quick that what the New York Jets. J-E-T-S, do you think they should go? They're talking about getting Tony Romo. I mean, this is crazy. The guy's one hit away from it. And they would probably have to give Dallas the top pick. I mean, I hope they don't do it, Bill. Yeah,
I think that's insanity on the part of the Jets. The Jets need to understand that they're going to have to draft well. They're going to have to suck it up this year, suck it up next
and
year.
A lot of people are still saying choices. That Bryce Petty has a big upside, and you don't know what Hackenberg can do. You got two guys who you get me, most quarterbacks take 3 to 5 years.
Right. But do you really think Dallas would let Romo go?
Oh, I know absolutely. The cap, if they dangled a number one pick, speculation is Dallas would take a number two for Romo, which would be a top 50 pick.
Yeah, but what if Prescott gets hurt
Jets?
Then?
Well, if it's a Jets.
Who do they have if Prescott gets hurt?
Well, you deal with that next year. What's that, Bill?
The Jets will finish with a sixth round.
Now, they're projecting them maybe as high as three.
It could be, yeah. Because
the Browns are clearly going to have the top pick again.
The Jets are playing badly. They play the Dolphins, I think, in Miami.
Yeah, that's not going to be well. That's not going to go well.
That's not going to go well. They're going to lose to Miami in Miami. And
what are they, 3-9?
I think they're 3-9 or 4-9.
No, they're 3-10. I think they're 3-10. So they may wind up 4-12. I mean, that I think will get them either a third or fourth pick.
Well, remember you've got
the problem is it's not a big year for quarterback. Nobody's coming out.
Well, no, but remember something.
You know what the draft is?
Maybe it's time for them to stockpile picks.
Yeah, you may because it's deep in cornerbacks. So if you got to figure they're not going to win next year. That's a very good point, Bill. You might be able to move that third or fourth pick for a second and third rounder and stockpile a couple of picks for next year, the 2018 draft. And you never know. I mean, they have some interesting choices. The problem is you're playing in New York. People are paying a lot of money. And this is very ugly. You got a coach nobody likes. Everybody thinks Woody Johnson's an idiot. I mean, you got a bad situation there.
Well, just because Todd Bowles went to Temple University and graduated from my university doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He's just not a great coach. And, you know, Woody Johnson has spent a lot of money on that team. They have not performed. The other day, my wife and I were cleaning out a bunch of old boxes, and we found photos that we had taken in 1982 at the Jets scrimmage with the Washington Redskins up at Lafayette College. And they had great players. They had Joe Klecko and Mark Gastineau. They had some good running backs, and they had a really decent team. And that was a year where they went 11-5. And, of course, they blew up in the second round to the Pates. But they were a good football team then. And that was over 30 years ago. And remember, that's when Leon Hess had the team, and they got worse and worse and worse and worse as time went on. Woody Johnson is not a football guy. He's a Band-Aid guy. He's the J&J fortune. And it just goes to show you there's just some times where people become owners. They kind of stay hands-off, but this is a time where somebody really needs to be a little bit hands-on, take this team in charge, and begin to stockpile draft picks. Say this is a 3-year rebuilding job. We've got to go out and find some good people to do this. I think our coach, Todd Bowles, still has a lot to show. This is his second year, isn't it?
Yes.
And remember, last year and the year before, they were kind of a flash in the pan. They didn't have a bad season.
They could have won if they had beaten Buffalo, and they lost to Buffalo
exactly.
Rex Ryan.
But this is sort of like Philadelphia with 2-10-6 years with Chip Kelly, and then they go backwards and have a 4-12 year.
That's a very good analogy.
And so what happens is that you have to say to yourself.
And by the way, those New York Jets came back and beat Cal Chip's team.
And I was
they
so
down
happy.
16-0 or something. And they came back and won in overtime.
That's right. And I was so happy because Chip Kelly looked so crushed. Everybody from Philadelphia.
You think he'd be used to it by now? The guy is just not an NFL coach.
Somebody
called that on day one on this show 3 years ago.
Well, remember,
sure
everybody
was,
in Philadelphia wanted to see his
we know, John.
Mashed with an old stale tasty cake right to the kisser. But the end result for him is I don't think he survives in Frisco either. I think we find him back coaching in a college somewhere. So the Jets really need, as I said before, to say to themselves, this is the season to find out what we have with these two young guys. Oh. I wouldn't sign Ryan Fitzpatrick again on a bet.
No. Fitz is definitely gone. You know that. Let these two kids play the last three games. Well, I think Hackenberg, they say he was shockingly unprepared. So I think it's Bryce Petty, who played at Baylor, good program. Give him a shot.
But remember, Baylor.
Remember, Troy Aikman was 1-15 his rookie year.
But remember something. Baylor, good program that it is, just picked up and signed Temple's coach, Matt Rhule. And Temple just signed Jeff Cook to be their new coach. So Temple now has to face in the Military Bowl. I think it's Wake Forest that they're playing.
Yeah.
And Temple is going to be coached by one of their assistant coaches. And that's December 26th, I think, is the Military Bowl. So I'll be watching.
They played a great game against Navy.
They sure did.
Remember,
really
you and I
Navy
watched
down.
That
right.
Together
they shut Navy
at HealthQuest.
Yeah.
And when we should have been working out, Bill and I were in the we were on the big screen TV in the lounge.
I mean,
but we were
in
at
a chair.
We told the rest of the world we're at HealthQuest, you know,
and sitting in a chair,
sitting in a chair watching
Temple and. Watching it being cold outside. And, you know, there's a lot of great things going on at HealthQuest. We have to have them on again next year.
Lots of great things. Here, I think you guys are working out really, really getting it together, and you're sitting watching television on a big screen television.
Well, guys,
I think it's about time to say goodbye.
How about a couple of quick predictions? I do think the Giants will beat the Lions. It would be a lot.